Let's pray. Lord, we do want to know the deep things of you. We don't want to stand on the shallows, but we want to find the treasures of what it is to follow Jesus with all that we are. So as we open your word now, we pray that you'll break it open and show us wonderful things within that would change our hearts and our lives, our church and our community, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, we had our wee game there with the cereal boxes. You can try that at home later, and don't charge me for the physio that you need afterwards. But it's all about getting down low, okay? Getting down low. And today, in our thinking, I'm going to use a few different words that are all to do with down and about going down and what's needed in the Christian life in terms of going down. But the first thing from the reading that Ozzy brought to us there was, I just want you to see how Jesus goes to people that are downcast. That Jesus goes to people that are downcast. If we just move on to the next slide, please, guys. Jesus comes to the downcast. I don't know if you know this, but and I'm sure Ozzy would have preferred that I told him, you can say Sea of Galilee there. That's a wee bit handier, isn't it? Sometimes I change the words to make them easier. Sea of Galilee is the same as the Lake of Gennesaret, or Gennesaret. But the Sea of Galilee. But the Sea of Galilee is actually the lowest body of fresh water in the whole world. Okay, it's the lowest freshwater place in the whole world. Just to give you a few wee stats, that it's the lowest freshwater lake on Earth. It's the second lowest lake in the world after the Dead Sea, which is obviously salt water. And it's at levels something like 215 metres below sea level. It's a low, low, low place to go fishing. And actually, it's in a region of Galilee which was a bit of a low place in terms of people's opinion. Do you know, have you ever heard somebody say, I looked at a house, but it was a dive, okay? A low place, a dive, okay? And this place in Galilee, if you had mentioned it to somebody from Jerusalem, they would have went, a dive, it's a dive. So Jesus was at the lowest freshwater body of water on earth, in a place that most people considered to be a complete dive. And it was round that lake, that Sea of Galilee. It's really just a lake, small. It was round that of his 33 glory-showing miracles that Jesus did on earth, 18 of them were done round that lake. Okay, he shows the high power of heaven at an unimaginably low place. And, you know, he doesn't just go to a low place. You'll know from the ministry of Jesus, he goes to people that are low, okay? He ministers to tax collectors, to sinners, to people of ill repute. He goes to those people, low people, and shows them the heights of heaven. He goes to the downcast. And even if you want to push it even further, who does he go to when he wants to show a miracle of fish catching? He doesn't go to the most, you know, famous fish catcher in the world. He goes to possibly the worst fisherman in history. Because every time you meet Peter, he has failed to catch any fish. I mean, that is a bad business model, isn't it? Fish all night but never catch anything. Okay? So he goes to a downcast fisherman. He's probably economically struggling as he washes his empty nets. Jesus goes to the downcast. I wonder why he does that. I actually just took a few minutes this morning as I was praying, and I was just struck by just a wee quote that came up in my reading. George Muller, who many of you know who that is, he doesn't make the yogurts, okay? George Muller said it well. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Why does God go to the low and to the downcast? Why does he go to the low places, to the low people, to show his glory? Why does he do that? Well, I think it's because when he does it, nobody is in any doubt who actually achieved it. You know, if God was to enter in to Usain Bolt and make him the fastest man on earth, people would go, oh, he was pretty fast already. If he enters into me and makes me the fastest man on earth, now we've got a miracle. If he enters into Hubert, now we've got revival. Okay. Only joking, Hubert. But why does he go to the low? Because he wants to show his glory. And, you know, it's lovely, isn't it? I'm sure Peter, he must have thought, this is the worst night of my life. How am I going to feed my family? These empty nets. But you know what? I think in hindsight, this was the best day of his life. Because his boat was empty, because there was no fish on it, Jesus comes along and he uses it. Now, you know God created the world, wouldn't you? Because Jesus knows exactly how to have an amplification system in the ancient world. Get on the water and sound bounces off the water. Isn't that right? So he stands in the boat and he preaches. But if Peter had a boat full of fish, maybe Jesus wouldn't have got into it. He goes to the low. He goes to the downcast and he uses them as vessels for his glory. Maybe that's why he chooses Bethlehem, which is another dive, the tiny town for Jesus to be born. Maybe that's why he chooses Mary, the young virgin. Maybe that's why he chooses shepherds, dirty, despised, dangerous people. Maybe that's why he chooses barren couples to bring about miraculous births. Maybe that's why he makes the stammering Moses the preacher to the biggest empire on earth, Egypt. Because he goes to the downcast and he shows his glory. And I think that's what I want to say to you this morning. If you don't feel anything special, God can still use you. In fact, he's probably more likely to. If you think that our wee church is nothing special, God can still use it. In fact, he's probably more likely to. So he goes to the downcast. I wonder if you feel busted, disillusioned, empty at this time in January. With all that's going on in the world, God can use you and God can break through to the downcast people. Now, secondly, if we move to the next slide, he asked Peter to cast down. Okay, so he went to the downcast, now he's asking them to cast down. See, if you think about it, there's three stations in this story. The first is that there's a crowd pressing in on Jesus and they're on the shore. Okay? The crowd pressing in on Jesus, listening to his message. I want you to locate yourself in one of these three stations. That's the first one, the crowd on the shore. A young reporter once asked Bud Wilkinson, who was the coach of an Oklahoma football team, "Coach, how has the game of American football contributed to the health and fitness of America?" He says, "It's not contributed at all." "What do you mean?" stammered the reporter. He says, "I define football as this. 22 men on the field desperately needing rest. 22,000 in the stadium desperately needing exercise." Okay, do you get it? 22 men on the pitch desperately needing rest. 22,000 in the stadium desperately needing exercise. The crowd. There's the crowd there. And there's nothing wrong with being part of the crowd. It's better than not being there at all. But it's much better to do what Peter does. To have Jesus in your boat. Because that's the next station. Having Jesus in your boat. And it says here that Jesus gets into one of the boats. There's two. What a privilege that he gets into Simon's. And he asks him to put out a little from the land. So now the stations are, you've got the crowd and you've got Peter who's got Jesus in his boat. Now that's better than being in the crowd, having Jesus in your boat. He's gone further than the crowd. And I want to thank God that there's so many people here that I know have done that. That we're not just bums on seats, but we have names in heaven. And, you know, thank God, praise God. We sung hallelujah a minute ago. We're going to sing in a few minutes again. Praise God if that's you. If you've stepped out of the crowd and Jesus has stepped into your boat. Praise God if that's the case. But there is another station. It's after the crowd, and it's after putting out a wee bit from the shore. It's when Jesus says, cast down into deep waters. There's a further station that we can go to. There's a deep place that I think we're being called to. I'm being called to as a leader, and I think we're being called to as a church. I love a wee story about C.S. Lewis was on a radio show, and he was asked, are you high church or low church? Now, do you know what these words mean? High church is sort of like, you know, incense and bells and all that sort of carry on, you know, all that's high church, okay? And then are you low church? You know, are you sort of, you know, t-shirts and jumpers and guitars and all that sort of stuff? You know, he's asked, are you high church or low church? Do you know what he answered? He says, I'm deep church. I'm deep church. Not so much better. High church and low church, they're just wee tribes really, aren't they? You know, of kind of styles and tastes and all that. And people are, it's really ridiculous. From heaven, we'll just go, what were we arguing about really? You know, but it's about being deep church. It's about being deep church. About really knowing the Lord and desiring to know him more. Deep church. And over the next few months, we're going to be looking at lots and lots and lots of deep things, you know, deep repentance and deep faith and deep quiet times and deep assurance and deep compassion and all these sorts of things. But here's the question, are you satisfied being in the crowd? Are you satisfied being in the shallows? Or do you desire the depths? That's the question for us all. Do you desire the depths? Because actually, if we have no appetite to be in the depths with God and in the deep things with God, we may actually ask ourselves the question, is Jesus in our boat at all? You know, my hero Spurgeon would say, if you have no passion to see souls go to heaven, maybe your soul's not going to heaven. That's what he says. Hard hitting, but it's a big question, isn't it? If we don't want to go to the deep things, are we people who have Jesus in our boat at all? But yet we must go deeper and deeper. The enemy doesn't want us to go deep. He doesn't want us to get our nets in the deep. He wants us to watch Netflix or whatever, you know, and just day after day just go through this routine and never want more and never want to go deeper and never want to see the things of God, never want to get those treasures, as we Grace told us, that are there in the depths for us. He doesn't want us to go there. Do you want to go there? I love this. When Jesus says put out to the deep, the word is bathos in Greek, but this word's used so many times in the New Testament. I could tell you loads, but I'll just tell you a few. It says in the parable of the sower, some seed fell on rocky ground, but it had no deep, okay, no depth of soil. You don't grow if you don't go to the depths. That's what the parable of the sower tells us. If you don't go to the depths, you don't grow. Romans 8, verse 39, and Ephesians 3, verse 18, both call us into the depths of the love of God. Are we in the depths of the love of God? This morning, you know, or even yesterday, did we open our Bibles and go into the depths of the love of God? Let's not go back years. Let's ask ourselves, in the last couple of days, do we go into the depths or have we been living in the shallows? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says that the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. It's like, you know, when Aladdin gets on the magic carpet and they go on a magic carpet ride and they see the whole world and all. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. He wants to take us into the very depths of the Father and the Father's love. Are we going there every day as we open up this wardrobe and meet Aslan? Are we? The depths, put out into the deep things, the deep things. And I suppose we just need to ask ourselves the question right here and right now, do we have a desire for the depths? As a church, as individuals, do we have a desire for it? Or are we content with what we have? We all know, of course, that Desmond Tutu passed away in recent times. And this is a wee prayer that Desmond Tutu often used, but actually it's probably originally Sir Francis Drake, but even that's sort of questioned, okay? But just listen to it. Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamt too little, because we sailed too close to the shore. Stir us, O Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture into wider seas, where storms show thy mastery, where losing sight of land, we find the stars. In the name of him who pushed back the horizons of our hopes and invited the brave to follow. We need to be disturbed if we are in the shallows, sailing too close to the shore. And we need to be stirred to go deep. Because we have a God of depth. Where even bishops say that they've still got the L plates on because they're learning more and more and more about this God that goes on forever. You know, isn't that, what do you call him, Attenborough? And he did that, what was it called? Blue Planet? Did anybody watch that? Put it, and I mean, discovering new things all the time. And this man of such an age, you know, that's what Christians should be like. We should just be discovering new things about the Lord every day. Depths, new depths. Cast out into the deep. You know, Peter, when he's told to put out into the deep and let down his nets, he answers, Master, move on to the next slide, sorry. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Can you hear there a wee bit of almost skepticism there? You know, master, boss, that's what that means, master, boss. We've been working all night. We're fishermen. We've been working all night. We've caught nothing. But because you're a preacher, we'll do what you say. All right? At your word, we'll do it. Now, there could be a reason for this because a few chapters before, Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever and was healed by Jesus. So maybe he knows something about the power of Jesus' word. But he's been asked to do something that he really doesn't think is a good idea here. We've been fishing all night. What's the point of this? But at your word, I'll do it. At your word, I'll do it. Obedience, deep obedience, in a sense. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and the nets were breaking. The nets were breaking. And they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. What a contrast. You know, from washing stinking empty nets to now having sinking ships with fish. What a contrast when you invite Jesus into your boat and you go deep. What a contrast. I wonder, is there anybody here that's fed up with just washing nets and would love to see a massive catch? We need to go deep with the Lord if we want to see that. We need to go deep. Oh, here's somebody else is preaching here. Hi, David. Am I joking? Could be better. Turn it up. Hey, folks, here's what I want you to see. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, move on to the next slide, please, guys. A true revelation of Jesus leads us to bow down. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Do you see that? It's went from boss, we've toiled all night, to I'm a sinful man, O Lord. It's went from, you know, like, you're the boss over me to you're the Lord of me. What a switch. What a switch. He bows down. I wonder, have we experienced this contrast of life outside of Jesus and life with Jesus in our boat? I wonder, are we ready to make Jesus not just our boss, but our Lord? To move from the crowd that are interested to the fella that's helping with Jesus in his boat to somebody who's ready to go to the very depths. And then it says that they were so astonished that when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You know, Jesus, he says to Peter, when Peter falls down on his knees before him, when he bows down before him, he says, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you'll be catching men and women, Okay, catching men and women, it's the same word. This is an amazing thing. You know, you see that it uses the word catch twice in that passage. But one of them is a word, agra, which means a net full of fish. Okay, the second word is a different word. It much closer means captivate. From now on, you're not going to be catching fish. You're going to be captivating people with the message of Jesus. Folks, I do long for a time where this church in the middle of this community would see every single day events happening in it that bring the community into this building. And to see people captivated by Jesus. Captivated by Jesus. And the first step to that vision is a church who worships and bows down, knowing our sinfulness, but knowing his amazing power. That's the first step. You know, folks, as a final wee thought, I just love this. And I know it's been an advertisement for C.S. Lewis this morning, but I just love this. C.S. Lewis, he talks about Jesus as a pearl diver. Okay? As a pearl diver. And this is what it says. Now, imagine Jesus standing in heaven. And it says, one may think of a diver first reducing himself to nakedness and then glancing in midair, then gone in a splash, vanishing, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through the increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and decay, and then up again back to colour and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover. Here's what Lewis is saying. That's in his book, Miracles. What he's saying is this. Jesus has went so deep to get you. He's went so deep into dangerous waters to get you. Here's the question. How deep will we go in our pursuit of him? Let's stand together. Now, folks, as we stand, let's speak to the Lord. Let's say where we want to be on this journey with him, whether we want to be just a person in the crowd, whether we want to invite him into our boat, or whether we're ready to go into the deep, deep waters of the one who went deep to rescue us. Father God, we want the Holy Spirit to take us to search the very depths of God. Holy Spirit, we don't want to be people who are washing our nets. We want to be people who are fixing our nets because of such a catch of fish. Lord, we want to be free from just being downcast and disillusioned. And we want to be people who are recommissioned as fishers of men and women, of captivators of men and women in this place. So Holy Spirit, come. And as we come to your table, we pray for a deep, deep, deep love to well up in us for the one who went deep to rescue us. Come, Holy Spirit.